Three, two, one. What's going on, South Harmon? Welcome to the second episode of The Walkthrough. Bang Bang, Matty Kiwoom here, joined by my man Cody Carpentier, and we are breaking down each and every game from the Sunday and the Monday night football slate of week two. Cody, how the hell are you?
Doing fantastic, brother. It's another week in the bucket. I mean, week one's done. And last week we were excited because football was here, and now we can get a little bit more excited because we have a little more data, we have a little more footage, we have a little more understanding of what the landscape of fantasy and what the NFL and all this stuff looks like. I know you're updating your rest of season rankings right now over at SouthHarmonFF.com. They're going to be up by the time this podcast is up. Our week one rankings, I know yours are up at South Harmon, mine are up over at Roster Watch. Like, we're in it, we're doing it, we're here. And we're going to break it all down for you today on the walkthrough, because this is what it is. We're trying to, you know, this is a matchup based pod where we talk about every single game, things to evade, things to, you know, utilize, things to focus on. And you know what? People have been asking, Maddie, for undercover ops. Where's it at?
Undercover ops.
Undercover ops.
Yeah, Macho Man Randy Savage. Yeah.
Guess what? I don't know if undercover ops is going to quite happen, but if you listen to this podcast, you may just get a couple.
That's right, baby. We're bringing the heat once again here in episode two of the walkthrough. But I have to ask before we dive into the first matchup, how did you pan out in week one? How are your takes? How are your hits? How are your misses? How did you pan out in week one? Because I just got to say personally, fuck week one.
Well, I know on the YouTube chat, we had a couple guys commenting saying how they had terrible week ones, like one league, 0-7, like bad. I was very middling. I know our last draft, because right when kickoff was happening, the last draft I did was on Saturday night after the first two games that happened, the OG South Harmon Executives League. And I got J-Mo and I got Cooper Kupp and I got Xavier Worthy, and your boys schlong was long. I mean, I was excited. And I was like, I mean, dude, best ball style with those guys. What are we doing here? Like, Cooper Kupp, we'll talk about Cooper Kupp here in a minute with the Rams, but it was his first game, Maddie, with more than 12 targets. He's had 12 targets, more than 12 targets, right? Everyone's used to like those OG days of Cooper Kupp, 19, 18, 16 on like almost weekly basis. He hasn't had one of those in his last 17 games, and he's been banged up the last couple of years. He hasn't had a game with more than 12 targets in 709 days. And he did do it. He had 21.
That's insane. The 21 targets to me is what it just, it also tells me too, that if you roster Puka, don't sell low. There's plenty of targets to go around. The guy's not going to get 21. He got 21 because Puka was out pretty early in that game. And Puka was getting peppered early too. They're going to be both pretty nasty with Matt Stafford. So I'm holding Puka. But yeah, Cooper Kupp getting 21 targets. He is back. We talked about it on the Hurdle. Check out our breakdown there. 8 storylines that we're buying and selling following week one. But enough is enough about week one. Like I said, fuck week one. It's over with. Your boy had a hell of a lot more losses than I had wins, but I went back to the drawing board. You know, the grind never takes a break. So we're getting ready for week number two. By the time you're hearing that, you're hearing this episode, you have already seen what happened with the Bills and Dolphins. Hopefully it was a lot of Jalen Wright for my personal psyche. But let's start in Baltimore. Big Trust, after a week one loss, they are hosting the Las Vegas Raiders. They are 8.5-point favorites. That has come down from 9.5. And the over-under of 41.5 is not all that enticing. It's bottom half of the slate. But what are you talking about with this game? Who do you want? Who are you benching?
The interesting thing here is that everything we've seen from the Baltimore Ravens over the course of the last couple of seasons is indicative that this is going to be a Ravens, you know, smoke. Like, they're just going to, you know, let it ride. Like, this is going to be a game for everybody. This is going to be a game for Zay, a bounce back for Andrews, probably a good game for Likely. I'm not going to get overextended on this Likely thing. I know it was a good game last week, but you remember, you know, a couple years ago, I think it might have been 2022. 2 when they played. Who the hell did they beat by like 40 early in the season? I want to say it was Miami. But when I'm going back,
it was, they boat raced Miami in Miami. That was the big Hollywood game. I think that was week one, actually.
Wasn't that like 2019 or 2020, though? Yeah.
No.
59 to 10 in 2019, right? 59 to 10. They just unloaded the clip on them later in the season. You know, they had Houston Texans at home, 41-7. You can just go year by year. There's games that kind of unfold like this. 34-6 2 years ago against the Chargers, 23-7 against the Broncos, 2022. We got a 13-3 against Carolina, which is not really a bloodbath, but just kind of a suffocation on the defensive side of the football. Last year, you had multiple. You had the Cleveland Browns, 28-3, Houston Texans, 25-9, Lions, 38-6. Seattle 37-3, like just suffocation, like score 30 plus points, suffocate on defense. And when you look at the matchup here, this is a complete mismatch. Would you say the number one? Because I think we were talking about it on the Circus Show last night, and I think it was 9.5.
It's down 8.5 on DraftKings.
I think I just got a text, honestly, from the boys about Circa. The Circa lines did not come out yet. It's a, I don't know what the hell they're texting me for. 8.5, not, I mean, this number, this should be a double digit number. You know, if we've seen teams before be 10-point home dogs, right? And you're like, well, that's a tell sign. 10-point home dogs is like a fade. It's not a fade. It's a buy the home team, right?
Yeah.
This is a home team that should be a double digit home favorite, and they're not.
Yeah.
This is like Vegas traveling across country to Baltimore into a hellscape where Baltimore just came out of a Thursday night home opener. They're on 10 days rest and they just got beat by the Kansas City Chiefs, the defending Super Bowl champions. And they probably feel like some type of way. It was 20-17, you know, in the fourth quarter, like they feel some type of way about it. This team is going to come guns blazing at home. Like I'm expecting a 40-10, 40-7 type of a game. If you got them, if you got somebody on Baltimore, likely Andrews, Flowers, Henry, Lamar, you're playing them. And you know what? I honestly think Justice Hill is a solid flex this week, just based on the utilization we saw this past week. 8 targets, 6 receptions, 52 yards. He didn't really have the carries, but I do expect in a game like this for Lamar's carries to kind of get, defurbished to guys like Justice Hill. So I think you're still going to get probably around an 8-10 touch game out of Justice Hill. It just might be dispersed in a different fashion.
I'm absolutely hammering the points. I don't give a shit that it's 8.5. Like you said, it's so hard to see, John Harbaugh and the Ravens not kick the living dog shit out of the Raiders who are traveling across country. Last question on this matchup, because it sounds like we're playing most of our Ravens. We're not playing damn near any Raiders. I have one question about the Raiders, though. Where do you have Devontae? Is he dead? Is he dead in the water as long as he's in Vegas?
I don't think he's dead. I don't think he's, I mean, he's definitely not going to be a top 12 option on a weekly basis, but I don't think he's dead. I mean, he caught 5 of 6 footballs. That game last week, I did expect a little more, but I mean, 33 pass attempts is plenty, especially against the Chargers. I didn't expect near the output from the Raiders, I think, than we saw it. And I want to take it with a piece of positivity that you look at the target dispersion, and it was 8 for Bowers, 6 for Madison out of the backfield, which was cockamamie, 6 for Devontae Adams, 3 for Trey Tucker, 3 for Michael Mayer, 3 for Jacoby Myers. Zamir got a couple. Like, this thing should tighten back up. It shouldn't be like this. Like, I expect Devontae to get more of a focal point in the first quarter of these games as the season goes on, and you're going to see him, you know, not end the game with 6 targets, but have 5-6 targets in the first quarter. So he's the one guy that I do trust in this game on the Raiders side.
Yeah, I got him ranked at 27, so I'm not completely benching, but it feels like to me every game in which they go down early, he might quit. He is so fucking done with this team. And the last question I have to ask, because everyone's thinking it, they're probably yelling into the abyss right now, hoping that we hear them. How do you have Isaiah Likely and Mark Andrews ranked in week 2? Who do you have higher? And where do you have them both? Because people are definitely curious as to how this situation is going to play out.
I have Likely at 7, and I have Andrews at 9.
So both top 10.
I just lean into big play. That's all. I just lean into the big play ability for Likely, but I think Andrews does have a bounce back. I have it Likely. I have Freiermuth in between these two guys. Freiermuth is a top 10 matchup against Denver in Denver, and we know that Pickens is going to be matched up on Sertan. I think Freiermuth's going to have a good week. I have him. I have those three guys just bing, bong, boom, right there at the back end of the top 10.
Okay.
Yeah. And I should mention, before we get off of Vegas, is Bowers. We should probably talk about Bowers just a touch at least. Like okay. He was, we had like four guys score more than 10 fantasy points in PPR last week. Like four guys in at tight end.
He was one of them.
Bowers was one of them. So it's a tougher matchup against Baltimore this week, but I think from a target perspective, he's fringe top 12 for me. I have him and Goddard back to back.
I have him at seven. Wheels up, baby. Wheels up on him. What we needed out of Pitts is targets, and he got targets right away. And it's not like the Raiders are going to be in this game. They're not going to be slowing the pace down and controlling the clock. They don't have the defense for it. They're going to get blown out on the road, and that's going to leave a lot of marks. So I like Bowers this week. So that was a good call bringing him up. The next game on the slate that we're going to talk about should be a fun one. The Lions disappointed in terms of the overall over-under and the output last week. But this week, they get another home game. This time, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers coming into town. The Buccaneers are more than a touchdown underdog. 7.5 points as road dogs. The over-under has continued to skyrocket. Started the week at 48.5. Right now at DraftKings, it's up to 51. Caesars has it at 51.5. MGM has it 51.5. So Vegas is expecting points. How do you see this game playing out, and what are you betting on in the Buccaneers and Lions week 2 matchup?
I think a touchdown is a bit much in this game.
Feels like it.
I like Tampa when it comes to that aspect of everything. On the field, we saw the J-Mo breakout. Waymo for J-Mo. Hashtag Waymo for J-Mo. Waymo targets. Waymo output. Waymo touchdowns. Waymo yards. That's what we're for. So I'm in with that. I think Amon-Ra obviously is going to bounce back. This isn't going to be hyper J-Mo. This is going to be hyper Amon-Ra. I think it's going to start to mesh better. And this is going to be just a too sick, man. This is going to be too sick. And the guy that might get donked out of here, cucked, is going to be Laporta. Interesting thing, though, that I took from week one was the utilization at the wide receiver position, which is Trey Palmer had 7 routes. And I went to Bucks camp, Bucks and Jags scrimmage, and I wasn't like the most impressed with Jalen McMillan. McMillan's going to be good, and I thought he was good. But I was like, I don't think they're quite ready to just give him the reins based on what we saw. Like, they were just utilizing Palmer a lot and really just focusing on two wide receiver sets with these two guys. It ended up McMillan had 30 routes, Godwin 28, Mike Evans 28. McMillan was in the slot 40%, Godwin 44%, Evans 33%. So these guys are just hyper mixing everywhere. And I like that. We didn't get a ton of output out of our boy McMillan, but I do expect that to grow as we move forward. And I think that helps against a Detroit defense that is good, not dominant, but is susceptible to getting beat on the back end. They just gave up the second most passing yards in the week to Matthew Stafford and the Rams. Cooper Kupp obviously was targeted 21 times. Tyler Johnson had his mini breakout. Mm-hmm. And if someone's going to do what Cooper Kupp just did, it's Chris Godwin, in my opinion. And it'll be interesting to see Carlton Davis, former Tampa Bay Buccaneer, lined up on Mike Evans. So you may get that Tyler Johnson type of a game out of a guy like McMillan. Like, I don't think that's out of the range of possibility in this offense. When you see Kupp had 21 targets, Tyler Johnson had 7, DeMarcus Robinson had 7, and Puka went out with 4. And if you consolidate those to these guys, that's essentially, you know, 21-9-9 or 17-11-11. If you take the same dispersion across these two guys, I'm not saying that's going to happen, but we've seen Mayfield toss that football up 40-50 times. And in a game like this in Detroit, I mean, this may be and is likely. Is it the highest total of the week?
It's up there. Let me see. It was second highest earlier in the week. The highest was actually the Rams Cardinals. Let's see if that's changed. I'm not sure. Because you don't typically see a 2.5-3 point swing from Tuesday to Thursday. We did see that. And now, yes, it is the highest we saw. Now the Rams Cardinals is down to 48. So it is the highest on the slate.
Rams Cardinals dropped 2 points?
Yeah, dropped to 48.
Okay. Well, yeah, I mean, I like this game. And I do think Tampa has a chance to win this one outright, but I think the touchdown's too much. And I think this will be the game that everyone focuses in all their stacks on. And it makes the most sense, right? I mean, you're going to be able to be very creative in this one. I do think there's a chance McMillan might be the sneaky one that people aren't likely to play, right? Everyone's going to be going out there to get their JMO because he's got the boom. Monra, because it seems like he's probably going to be at a value. Mike Evans and Godwin is for obvious reasons. You got tailbacks. You got tight ends. I kind of like McMillan this week. I mean, the utilization we saw in week one was pretty obvious.
I love the McMillan call. I'm not really going to dive into too much of the other players because you're kind of starting everyone that you think you should be starting. McMillan is a sneaky play. I do like he could have had a lot bigger game in week one. He had that horrible drop early in the game, but then made up for it with a touchdown. But in terms of the betting odds, I'm taking the points and taking the Bucks. I don't see a blowout here. I don't see a 7-point blowout by the Bucks. I think they keep it close, but I love the potential for a lot of points because of this reason. Last week, we saw the Detroit Lions come out and run the football very effectively. Well, the Buccaneers and Vita Vea, they have a thing or two to say about running the football up the middle. They ain't going to want to have it. They ain't going to allow it to happen. Even as good of an offensive line as Detroit has, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers has one of the premier run defenses in the NFL. So I think there will be a bit of a passing funnel on both sides. So I'm not taking the under as confidently as some may with such a high over-under. I'm kind of staying away from that, but I do love the Buccaneers 7.5. And I will probably put a bean or two on the money line. Plus 295 for the Bucs. Feels like good juice there, so I like it. But this should be one of the most fun matchups in the 1 o'clock slate, so we're going to get ready for that. Let's move on to Dallas. Dallas is 1-0. They looked awesome in their opener on the road against the Browns. This week, they host another team that went crazy in week one, the New Orleans Saints, and they are 6-point favorites at home. Dallas's over-under of 47 points. That's towards the top of the slate, tied for fourth as of right now. So was that week one game a fluke by the Saints, and how do you expect them to match up against Dallas in Jarrah's world?
I think it was a complete fluke. Of these two teams, both dominated in week one. And Dallas did it on the defensive side of the football. DeMarvion Overshown, Eric Kendricks, Micah Parsons, DeMarcus Lawrence, domination. The Saints offense played well in this one. The Saints offensive line played very well. The Saints offensive line is not that good. They just played against an opponent that was without Brian Burns because he was traded. Derek Brown got injured. He's the best player on the Panthers team, and he was in their defensive interior. They signed Shai Tuttle. Yes, sure. Former Saint. They have guys coming out the edge that are not ready to be at this level. So the Saints' offensive line deceptively looked better than it was. They're going to be shown up in this game, and it's going to be one of those situations where you see a team get, you know, completely walked a dog, and then the following week get walked like a dog. I think the Cowboys are going to run this game. They're going to run the Saints completely out of Jerry's world. This is going to be another, you know, the Cowboys do this though. The Cowboys, a year ago, the Cowboys opened up against the Giants and just blanked them 40 rip on the road, came home, beat the Jets 30-10. Of course, no Rodgers in that game, 30-10. They go out to the West Coast. They lose by 2 touchdowns to the Cardinals. They come back home, and they just dog walk the Patriots 38-3. Giants and Patriots, right? What do they have in common? Panthers and Saints. They're not far off. I don't think the Saints are far off from being in that tier of football. Yes, Carr is playing at a great level, but again, he's doing it against the Panthers. The Panthers don't have much on defense. They have J.C. Horn, but J.C. Horn's one person.
Right.
the Cowboys have been playing this aggressive style of offense the last couple seasons. And I just named off, you know, the first couple games of the year. You go even later, the home games against the Rams, 43-20, Giants, 49-17, Washington, 45-10, Seattle, they score 40, Eagles, 33-13, like finish the season out with Washington, 38-10. Like, this team is going to score points. This team didn't have to press the gas pedal last week. They scored 33 in the Cleveland Browns, which is a really good defense. This game, like I said, is going to be a bounce back ass kicking where the Saints just got done kicking ass and they're going to get their asses kicked. With that being said, I still think you can take your Chris Olave and play him. He's going to get enough targets. Kamara is going to get plenty of targets coming out of this backfield. When you look at the dispersion on this team, it's Olave and Rashid Shaheed running routes. Mason Tipton ran 8. That was the third most among the wide receivers. Kamara, Juwan Johnson, Foster Moreau, and Jamal Williams combined for 47 routes, which was 3 less than Olave, Shaheed, and Tipton. And with Moreau being out, I'm assuming he's out. He's got a concussion right now. He's limited. We can keep an eye on that. If Moreau was out, I think Juwan Johnson does enter himself into that top 12, top 14 conversation at the tight end position. Kamara, from a target perspective, you're starting him. And I'm just not ready to click that Shaheed button against Dallas, but he showed you last week what he's capable of. I think he's a guy that I have. I was going to say 36. I have him at 40. So take that for what it is. I think he's, like I said, a fringe 3 guy, but Olave, I think you're starting regardless.
I was going to ask you about Olave. I'm at 28. With all of that passing bonanza, all that efficiency in week one, he was just nowhere to be found. He was running routes, though, so you're not completely abandoning the ship quite yet. But two things I love in this matchup. One, C.D. Lamb. I'm expecting a massive game out of C.D. Lamb at home, starting with Marshawn Lattimore, who was a DNP with both a hamstring and hip ailment on Wednesday. We're going to keep track on that for the rest of the week. And on top of this, the only little bit of success that we saw out of the Panthers was Adam Thielen over the middle, 46 yards, 3 catches over the middle. The thing about the Saints is it's easy to scheme a wide receiver away from Lattimore if they're nasty in the slot. We know CeeDee Lamb is nasty in the slot, so I'm expecting a big, big, big bonanza from CeeDee Lamb. And the other thing that I love in this matchup is taking Dallas -6. Give me all of the -6 Dallas. This seems like a blowout. This seems like a 10-point win for me. If you don't love it, because, you know, you get that -110 if you're taking the points, parlay it with the under. I don't see it hitting 47. I don't think this is a high-scoring affair. I think the Saints struggle to get in rhythm. The Cowboys control the game. And they scored so many points last week, but that was just a full team beatdown at home. They'll probably have more offensive flash. I don't see it hitting the over. So I if you want to parlay it to get a little extra use, go with the -6 plus the under. But I don't love the under. I do love giving those points. I don't give a rip. I think Cowboys absolutely smashes in this game. We mentioned the Panthers briefly, but let's dive into their week 2 matchup. They have their home opener against the Los Angeles Chargers flying across the country. The Chargers are giving 6 points as road favorites. The over-under right now is at 39, one of the lowest on the slate, third lowest to be exact. Fantasy-wise, betting-wise, is there really anything to sink your teeth into with Chargers at Panthers?
Betting-wise, I think people are going to run sprint to go bet on the Chargers in this game. I'm just going to stay away from it. It seems like too many points. I don't think Carolina is a good football team, but they did just get their the back of their heads popped, and you know what happens when you get they get donkey punched. And I think the Chargers are going to come in here and run the football. They're not. The thing you have to remember is that the Chargers are not an explosive football team. So when you see those big plays last week from Shaheed, 59 yards, Moreau, 22, Kamara goes 18, Juwan Johnson gets a ball for 16 yards, I don't think you're going to see that from the Los Angeles Chargers. Like, I know everyone's going to go, yeah, but Cody, J.K. Dobbins. J.K. Dobbins for 61 yards last weekend. And Hayden Hurst had a little big – I don't care. Like, Dobbins – this is, like, something I talked to Alex about on the Waiver Wire show this week was Dobbins is good, right? Jordan Mason's good. But here's the thing, Maddie. When you're looking at these running backs and he goes – yeah, but there's no, you know, there's no consistency built into Jordan Mason in fantasy football. And I go, yeah, well, first off, that's a whole, I mean, this is obviously we're talking Chargers here, but I'm bringing this up in conjunction is that McCaffrey is dealing with a calf that they added the Achilles to, and the guy didn't practice all of August, and Mason's been the RB1 and he's used to running behind this offensive line. McCaffrey can, and he's used to it, of course, but he hasn't done it the last month.
Right.
And just to expect McCaffrey to go in day one, and again, he can do it because he's Christian McCaffrey of all players. Like, he can do it. LaDainian Tomlinson can do it. Adrian Peterson. All these guys can do this. But the idea that a team would do this from a health perspective when they're the Niners and they know that their aspirations are to win the Super Bowl, not to just, you know, win 10 games. The idea that McCaffrey would be in there before week six from 100% like utilization standpoint is cockamamie. And the idea that I could get a Jordan Mason for those 5 weeks with at least a split in this backfield, which is going to be at least 10 touches, is exhilarating to me. With upside of McCaffrey re-aggravating that calf, just like Joe Burrow did a couple of seasons ago in week four and having to miss more games. The other side of this is J.K. Dobbins. People are running out there to spend, and they did spend their fab. Again, this we're recording this show on Thursday. Like, the fab stuff's done. J.K. Dobbins had 10 carries. Sure, he had three receptions out of the backfield, but he had 4 yards on those three receptions. We do know the one thing about the Achilles is the Achilles – guys can come back from Achilles. We saw it with Deonta Foreman. We've seen it with a multitude of running
backs. James Robinson.
James Robinson, Cam Akers. We've seen these guys come back, and it was always like, oh, these guys are – it's a death sentence. It's not a death sentence. These guys can come back and run the football, but the place that we've actually seen the correlation to negative output is in the receiving game. It's a different type of football, right? It's catching the ball on the move, and your body's moving a different way. Whereas if you're running the football with a handoff, you can. It's less unplanned manipulation of your.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
Movements, you
have,
right?
When you're running routes, you're cutting without even making a play. You have to move.
Bingo. And the correlation I'm making is that when you have these Achilles injuries, it takes away from your passing game. So it takes away from your overall touches. So when you looked at the touches and with the Chargers, Dobbins had 13 opportunities. Gus Edwards had 12 opportunities. This is going to be a split, regardless of how efficient J.K. Dobbins is. J.K. Dobbins could go 10 for 135 every single week, and you'll never see him touch the ball 20 times. And if he does it, he'll only do it once or twice this whole season. They are not dumb enough to be like, J.K., you want 24 touches? You want 6 targets? It's not going to fucking happen. It's not going to happen. I will bet so much on it. Whereas with Jordan Mason, and I told Alex this, I go, you're never going to get 25 touches out of J.K. Dobbins. He goes, when are you going to get 25 touches out of Jordan Mason? I go, you just got 29 last night.
Yeah.
You just got 29. Yeah. And the thing is you can be scared of McCaffrey, but you also have to understand that this guy, he's been the – most, I know we're going way off on here. He's been the most lucky the last 3 years from injury perspective. He's played every game. But in Carolina, you remember how it was a pain in the ass. Every week it felt like there was like something's coming up with McCaffrey. He ends up playing, but he's now a little bit older. It's now a different ball game. It's now a different conversation. And Jordan Mason looks fantastic. So anyway, the J.K. Dobbins part of this is I like J.K. Dobbins, but I'm just reminding people, just don't get over your skis. Gus Edwards will have his games as well. Dobbins is a really nice running back, but the focal point of this team is going to be downhill between the tackles, between the guards, grinding it away. And in the receiving game at this point, the only player you can really trust and you can really play is Ladd McConkey.
Big touchdown last week, a lot of targets. I'm kind of staying away wholeheartedly from most of these. My favorite play is the Chargers defense. Let's move on to the next game. Browns taking on the Jacksonville Jaguars, a couple of 0-1 teams. Jacksonville are home favorites ever so slightly, -2 points, over under of 41.5. This looks like Vegas expects this game to blow. But what say you, my friend?
I think this game's going to blow.
Yep.
I mean, Deshaun Watson sucks. He's a toaster. He just burns everything that goes inside of him. That was probably not the right. Probably wasn't the right turn of phrase there, but you get the fucking point. This is just not, it's not a good situation right now. I think from a fantasy perspective, we just have to kind of sit back and hope that sooner than later they can get Winston in these games. Mm-hmm. Hope that, you know, his shoulders are not ready. And these tackles are, you know, that was honestly the thing is, I don't want to overreact to this Cleveland thing. I don't think Watson's play is as bad as everyone's making it out to be. It's not good, but he also was fucking brutalized last week. He was fucking brutalized last week from this Dallas defense. Kendricks had 2 sacks. Lawrence had 2 sacks. Overshown had a sack. Micah had a sack. And I don't know what the
Nealon was on his ass.
I don't know what the pressure numbers are exactly. I could probably pull it up on PFF, but every time he dropped back, it was like planned 3-step, ended up into a 7-step, planned 5-step, ended up into a 9-step. And he's just like, it felt like he was going backwards the whole game. And you know, those opportunities where he'd loft that football up to Amari Cooper. And I don't remember what the number was. If it was 173 or 173 unrealized air yards, I think it was for Amari Cooper.
Pushing 200. Yeah, for sure.
It was massive. And it was like, he would lob that football up and it was like, I don't blame this on his shoulder. I blame this on the pressure. The tackles are out of this game and he's getting fucking killed and he's lobbing this football up and Cooper just couldn't quite get under it. The guy had 9 targets. Mm-hmm. And as annoying as it is to own Cooper and to play Cooper, I didn't hate the performance that he or Judy had. You know, they got great target shares. It just happened to, you know, this was a brutal, brutal football game. I don't think Jacksonville has near the pressure ability that Dallas did. So I think Cleveland is in a good spot here to kind of bounce back. I just hope these tackles can withstand a little bit. And again, no Njoku. So Akins is going to be a startable player at the tight end position just because of what the tight end position looks like right now. I think this week I put Akins at 23rd. So it's, you know, end of the TE2 area, but I think by the end of the week I'm probably going to have Akins up in that Colby Parkinson area, which is like 16-17. So I'm fine with him there. Like I said, he's a middling TE2. Cleveland, again, if you have Cooper or Judy, I think I still might play with fire there if I have to.
I'm going to play Cooper. I didn't realize he was a fingertip away from at least savaging his fantasy day. But if you're looking for some saviors on that offensive line, again, still some practices left to go. Willis, DNP Wednesday. Patino, limited Wednesday. Conklin, limited Wednesday. So there's not really a whole lot of health coming back for that offensive line. But Cooper, Ford, Etienne, those are the guys I'm really playing. And if you want to go back to the Brian Thomas Jr. well, he's always there for a big game. So there's that. But, of course, with Vegas not really expecting a whole lot of points, it's tough to get overly excited.
One more thing before we move off this game. Where do you have Brian Thomas Jr. ranked?
BTJ is currently ranked as my wide receiver. Where are you, you son of a bitch? Why did he always? There he is, 32.
I like it. I'm 37.
Yeah. I mean, we saw Cleveland, the Browns secondary, play very favorably against a lot better overall passing attack last week. Dak only had a 52% completion percentage, so they played pretty good on that side of the football. So I'm not expecting BTJ to get a lot of volume, and he's certainly not going to be efficient like he was last week. 4 targets, caught all of them, 45 yards and a touch, but he almost stepped out of bounds. And I know if he's in nuts, we're candies and butts, every day is going to be Christmas, but I'm still a little bit tempered, little bit cautious about the ranking this week. I have him at 32. He's in that boomer bust range for me, that Worthy, J-Mo, Dell, Sutton range for me. So if in your shallower leagues, you'll probably be able to find other arrangements in your deeper leagues. Of course, you can go ahead and fire him up. Let's move on to the Green Bay Packers. They're 0-1 after a tough loss in Brazil. They're hosting another 0-1 team that had a tough loss in week 1, the Indianapolis Colts. Without Jordan Love, Vegas is not expecting this game to be offensively driven. Over under of 40.5. The Packers are getting 2.5 points at home. Let's start there. Is Malik Willis that bad that this team, who's loaded, should be getting nearly a field goal at home in week two?
I think this Packer team is better than what the Colts have. And people, I've listened to a few pods this week. People have written Malik Willis completely off. And I'm not of the team to stay on my priors. Obviously, I've talked about Romeo Doubs amongst other players. Malik is a guy that I was a big fan of coming out of Liberty. And it was pretty apparent from the first snap of preseason, his rookie season, that it wasn't there.
Yeah.
At least yet. The thing is the guy has grown, and he grew in Tennessee over this offseason. And you heard positive things from his growth and maturation and his competitive, competitive ability. God damn it. His competition in the game, like in practice, like
his competency.
Yeah. 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 Like he was playing much more up to Levis than down to himself. Right. If that makes sense. And they trade him away because he came from the prior front office, and Green Bay has Michael Pratt from Tulane, who the one thing we know about Michael Pratt is that he's pretty competent. He's a guy that you can look at as like a Case Keenum, like a Chase Daniel, some guy that you just know can pick up on your whole playbook and just run it. And this would be the perfect spot for a fucking Michael Pratt to just go in and just run the offense, or a Sean Clifford, just go in and be competent. But they let Pratt go, and then they put Sean Clifford on the practice squad, and they say Malik is the guy. And if I trust any team in football, any team, Maddie, any fucking team, any organization to use their eyeballs on a quarterback and adjust properly, it's Green Bay. And you know I fucking hate Green Bay.
I know.
And if I trust any organization to use their eyeballs and to make an adjustment, I trust Green Bay. They did it with Rodgers. They did it with Love. And they've cut bait with Pratt in 4 months. Pratt, which at Tulane was a competent quarterback, like a good quarterback at Tulane. They cut bait. They put Clifford, who's been there for 4 or 5 years from Penn State, they put him on the practice squad. They brought Malik in. I think Malik's going to be fine. I don't think Malik's going to be a world beater. I don't think he's a top 25 player, top 24 player this week, but I think he keeps his team competent enough that they run the shit out of the football down the Colts' throat. The Houston Texans just ran for $160 on these guys. Mixon did. Jacobs is better than Mixon. Emmanuel Wilson has brought in a different burst and ability to this offense as well in Green Bay. They're going to utilize Jaden Reed, and they have these two big guys on the outside. The one thing we know Willis can do, he can put that ball deep downfield. I don't think Watson's a bad play. I don't think he's a bad play this week. Dobbs may be the one that gets the most pullback in this offense because he's connection based. He's connection based with Love.
Right, you're right. Timing. Love has elevated his value for sure.
Correct. Rodgers with Jordy Nelson. Rodgers with Adams. The connection that those guys had. Love and Dobbs have that connection on out routes, on comebacks, etc. Fades in the end zone, all these different things. I think Dobbs may be the one that gets kicked back, but I mean, Reed's going to get his work. Jacobs is going to get his work. Wilson's going to be probably a fringe RB4, high end RB4. Tight ends, I don't know. I kind of want to stay away from the tight end situation here. I'm kind of fugly about it with Musgrave getting no work and Kraft getting all the work. I don't know how to feel about this, so I'm kind of staying away from there. But I think the Colts. I don't think the Colts win this game. I think the Packers win this game at home. Packers are tough to play in Green Bay. and going on losing last week to Philadelphia. I think they bounce back to the better football team and they can squeeze Richardson down. This is a good defense. So I'm going to go Packers here. And I feel good about all those guys I just named off. And then in Indianapolis, everybody knows Taylor, you play Richardson, you got Pittman. And then if you want to get spicy, I mean, Adonai's there and he had some.
I go AD. Yeah. I'm AD over Alec Pierce all day long. To be honest, to be completely upfront and honest, I'm not going back to the Alec Pierce. Well, I will go back to the AD Mitchell. He should have had two touchdowns. Yeah. He should have had two touchdowns in a third big play. I have AD Mitchell inside my top 50. I love Jacobs this week. He's my running back 6. I'm not as down on Jaden Reed as the community right now. I'm at 24. I think the manufactured touches will be enough to provide fantasy value. And if you're looking to bet, take the points. You're getting minus 102 in terms of the juice, which is pretty good considering you're getting points. They're getting points at Lambeau. They're going to run the shit out of the football. Matt LaFleur has some of the best design runs, whether it be inside, outside, efficiencies, out of shotgun. It doesn't matter. But LaFleur can generate a lot of effective designs in the running game. And the Colts, like you said, they're coming off a game where they got absolutely trounced on the ground. So I love me Jacobs this week. For me, I'm going to have some DFS lineups where I start with Jacobs and build around him because I think he sees 20, 25 touches and could be a 2-3 touchdown type of guy given the fact they're at home. They're looking for blood after losing in Brazil in week 1. This next game, we can make it brief. There's not a whole lot to be excited about. Patriots, Seahawks, Seahawks traveling across the country. They're giving 3.5 points as road favorites, over under 38.5. There ain't a single Patriot that you're starting, so we don't have to really even talk about them. But let's talk about the pass catchers of the Seattle Seahawks. What do you think of DK? You're going back to Tyler Lockett. JSN, how do you see this shaking out?
Well, I probably play Ramondre. I probably just do it.
You're playing Ramondre. Yeah,
three targets, 28 touches. I'll do it just because of the touches. But I do have him as like a fringe two. I have him like running back 25, 24. So that is what it is. On the other side in Seattle, though, I kind of been waiting to see. I'm not going to comment on the running backs right now. I think if Ken plays, Ken is going to be a guy that I probably pulled down a little bit. I pulled him down to RB22. That's on a questionable base. Again, he's got an abdominal injury. The last time last year he had an abdominal injury, he missed 2 games. So I'm going to assume that Ken's probably going to be limited if he does play from a total carry perspective, and that's going to bump up Charbs, Zach Charbonnet. So, oops, I just about fucked up my whole sheet. Charbonnet. So I think that bumps Charbonnet up probably a little bit ahead of Ken Walker, which is probably going to be like that running back 20 area. You know, we're not talking about the Thursday night game because it's happening kind of as we're talking right now. And I'm expecting Wright to get a good amount of work, assuming Achan's inactive. So I think I would have these guys pretty similar to back to back. I feel like I may lean Charbonnet in that conversation. So that would put Charbonnet about running back 19 for me. The wide receiver room Lockett nukes this thing every time, right? DK is going to be on Gonzalez. And we have Lockett and Jackson Smith and Jigba. And the Smith and Jigba thing hasn't happened yet because Lockett just sits here and just slurps in targets. Like it's his job because it's quite literally his fucking job. So until further notice, you can't really do much with Njigba, I don't think.
Yeah, I got Njigba at 42. DK at 30.
I'm at 57, and Alex is like 88.
Listen, it's got to happen before you can make it happen. I get that for sure. Let's keep it going. Vikings taking on the 49ers, a pair of 1-0 franchises. The Vikings, 5.5-point dogs at home. The over-under is set at 45.5, which is just about the damn near middle of the slate. You're obviously firing up the guys you're firing up. You're firing up Kittle, Jefferson. You're firing up Mason. You're firing up pretty much all the weapons, I'd say. But let's start at the quarterback position. If you are in a need, if you're desperate, if you had Jordan Love and Brock Purdy, Sam Darnold is out there, are you playing either one of these guys?
Not playing Darnold. Purdy, I will. I'll play him. I'll play Purdy. Too much weaponry for the Vikings to contain here. I'll play Purdy. I won't love it. Again, he scored 10 fantasy points last week. Darnold had a good week with 14, but I'm just not. I don't really want. I mean, I hope you have a better option than he. I mean, honestly, Daniel Jones has the best matchup on paper this week. And if you can get Darnold or if you can get Purdy, you can get Daniel Jones. And I like the rushing, and nobody in Washington can really defend on the back end. So we know when we get to that game, we're going to be talking about Malik. So I'll stay away from these quarterbacks. Had these guys both, Purdy 18, Sam Darnsky 25. Everything else, though, I think you just rip it. You just let the dog hunt. Aaron Jones showed us what he had last week, scored almost 20 fantasy points in PPR. Tough matchup, but he's still going to get that work. Jordan Mason's the top. I have him eighth overall, assuming no McCaffrey. At the wide receiver, the one thing I want to talk about here is Jalen Naylor. I want to know where you have Jalen Naylor. I haven't made a real smart adjustment. I don't know. At the current stage, we saw the Jordan Addison news yesterday, and the Jordan Addison stuff is a pretty significant ankle soreness, week two status in doubt. So I'm kind of going on the basis that he's not going to play. So I didn't rank him. Where I would have had him ranked was, you know, somewhere in like the 50s. So I don't know if Naylor should go 50s or if I should bump him up even further to like the 40s.
So Naylor right now, I have him in the 70s. It's really just a crude ranking. I need to see the week as it plays out. But if Addison trends in the negative direction at Thursday, Friday, I'm going to put Naylor probably in the Michael Wilson, Rashid Shaheed range. So probably back end of the 40s, 49, 48, 50, something in that general direction.
That's fair.
That's what, and I, in terms of a game script, for me, it feels like it's just a rinse and repeat for the Niners. Let's go back to 30 touches for Jordan Mason. Let's run the ball up the middle. Let's just impose our will. Get out of Minnesota with a win. That's why I got Mason as a top 12 play. You have him at 8. I'm at 12. So we're lockstep that we love Mason. He's a for sure play. I want to ask this real quick before we move on to the next matchup. In seasonal leagues, if you need a running back, what are you willing to move for Mason, knowing that his value is high, but it has a shelf life?
Well, you mean I'm getting Mason?
If you're looking to acquire Mason, and we can open it for Dynasty because I think picks are very much relevant in this conversation. Like in Dynasty, if you need a running back, are you giving up a 2 for Jordan Mason?
In Dynasty, if I'm in a win now, I'll give up a 2.
Okay.
If I'm in seasonal, I think somewhere in that, like, I'm not giving up quite London. I'm not giving up on London either.
You're giving up Deontay Johnson for Jordan Mason.
I was going to say, like, Cooper or Ridley.
Amari Cooper or Calvin Ridley in that range?
Yeah, probably Ridley.
Yeah, it's one of those situations that I think you're kind of damned if you do, damned if you don't. Because if you don't pay up and you look up and it's Halloween and he's played most of the snaps, maybe Halloween's too far out, but October 1st, you're like, shit, I could have used all that. And then you're probably too late. So I like that call. In round two feels expensive, but man. Finding running backs in the season is tough, and it looks like Mason is poised to be quite sick nasty as long as he's on the field. Let's move on to the next game. A couple of 0-1 matchup here. The Jets stay on the road. The New York Jets travel to Tennessee to take on Billy Levi's and the Tennessee Titans. Tennessee is giving up 3.5 points at home. Over-under of 41 suggests not a lot of points scored. The money line, too, is a bit... Who gives a fuck? No juice for the Titans. Only a 150 money line there. So it's just a bunch. It's a lot of stay away for me in terms of the betting. But how do you see the fantasy output shaking out?
Well, this is, I want to see G-Dub double down here. I want to see G-Dub, Garrett Wilson get pounded here with targets. He's got 11 last week. Lazard got this just like maniacal 9-target, 2-touchdown game. If this happens again... I mean, you might as well freaking send Mike Williams back to Los Angeles or something. I like it. what we got out of Lazard, I don't know if you can trust it again. But I think he's probably going to end up, I don't know, of these two guys, like I think Snead, Legarius Snead probably ends up predominantly on Lazard. I think Lazard played predominantly on the right side. Snead was like 71% on the right side, according to PFF. Chidobe Awuzie was on the left side, so that should put Awuzie on Garrett Wilson. But again, Lazard and Wilson kind of split sides, so they should get even work. So I think that doesn't really – and the reason I bring up Snead is because obviously we know Snead is a top 10 guy. I'm actually working on my cornerback rankings right now. So we'll see where he shakes out you know, week one, week two. But I don't know. I think this is a Garrett. I mean, I kind of wanted to put Garrett Wilson a little bit higher, but I'm you know, I have him at wide receiver 7 this week.
Me too. It's just hard. I mean, it's not that we don't love Wilson. It's just that, like, Cup's back. And then A.J. Brown, Hill, Lamb, St. Brown, Justin Jefferson. It's just these guys have to fall somewhere. And he just fell at 7.
You know who I put ahead of him? I guess this is probably on like one of the next games we're talking about, but I put Rashee Rice ahead of him.
I have him one spot behind him at 8. So yeah, I love Rashee this week. Rashee's here to fucking stay. Let's just call it what it is. I rejected it. I fought against it, but it was inevitable. He's as inevitable as it gets. In terms of the Titans, I don't love any of the pass catchers here this week. Even Tony Pollard, I have him outside of my top 20. What the Jets defense does well is blitz and cause a lot of pressure. What the Tennessee Titans have yet to figure out is how to stop pressure from the opposing defense. So I think this is a bad game for Levis and the pass catchers. Garrett Wilson, he's going to be fine. Yeah, you don't like the 6 for 60, but 47.2% of the air yards went his way with Aaron Rodgers under center. This guy's going to eat. We love Garrett Wilson and expect a pretty big game out of him. You mentioned him briefly a few seconds ago, so now let's dive into the matchup. Bit of a stink fest, if you will. The New York football Giants head to Washington to play the Commies. The Giants are getting 2 points at home, over under of 43. Talk to me.
Give me Malik.
Malik, 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 Malik.
Do we need anything more than that? Like, do I need to like stand on my head and, you know, do the splits and take my pants off or something? Like, we want Malik. Like, that's it. It's Malik Nabers. I tweeted it out earlier and it was like one thought from the Giants receiving situation, like the routes, the targets. And I was like, man, can we go ahead and never see this thing where Nabers gets out targeted by
Wandale Robinson
ever again? 50 routes for Malik Nabers. Slayton runs 40. Wandale runs 37. Jalen Rip Hyatt third runs 9. Over under, Maddie, 1.5 weeks. Wandale Robinson is out targets Malik Nabers rest of season.
Under. I don't think he does it again.
I hope not. I fucking hope not.
When you're sitting down Daniel Jones and you're like, listen, man, look at all the hate you're getting because you can't win in this. Let's not give it to Wandale Robinson when we have a fucking Ferrari in the – what are you doing? Throw it to Malik. Throw it to Malik. And this is the week to take advantage of it because the Commanders' defense is a sieve. The Commanders' defense cannot figure it out. And another thing, you can book it. Jane Daniels rushes for over 100. He's going over a rack this week. The Giants' defense sucks at stopping rushing outside the tackles. Well, I hate to break it to you, but JD showed last week against a very competent run defense that he can break it to the outside. I expect Jane Daniels to be great in fantasy this week. I have him at quarterback 4. Quarterback 5 this week. Only guys I have ahead of him are the usual suspects: Allen, Mahomes, Jackson, and Hurts. I got JD at 5, ranked ahead of Kyler Murray and Anthony Richardson. I think this is a big fantasy day for Jane Daniels. A get-right game for Terry McLaurin. because the Giants' defense sucks as well. Their secondary is putrid. But in terms of a football game, stay away. This game's going to absolutely suck to watch. But fantasy-wise, there'll be a couple of guys. I love Malik, love JD. I think Clint McLaurin bounces back. So we can expect at least some fantasy production from those guys.
I think a naked run back would be nice in this game. A naked Daniels with a Malik run back would be an interesting DFS strategy with this one, because it's like literally the only two pieces of this whole game you want. I have Daniels 6. I popped Goff ahead of him just by a spot. I think Goff, I mean, that indoor game, we already talked about it.
Yeah.
Maddie, one question. We're on the fly right now. We're pre-recording this podcast, and injury news comes in as we go. This is just the life of podcasting, the life of doing shows. Jaguars have now placed Tyson Campbell, their cornerback one, on the IR. He's going to miss 4 games. So live adjustment here. Again, they're playing against the Cleveland Browns, Amari Cooper and Deshaun Watson. Do we make any type of adjustment to Amari Cooper now knowing that, or Amari Cooper or Judy for that matter, now knowing that Tyson Campbell is out? As people are listening along, this of course happened whatever yesterday, but it's happening in real time as we're conversing.
I'm not really changing it all that much because Tyson Campbell has been one of the more overrated cornerbacks over the last couple seasons. So I don't know if he really provided much of a spark. It really comes where I have Cooper ranked right now at 29. It's really just based on seeing this offense look better, because am I going to push him ahead of the Stephon Diggs, the Michael Pittmans, the Chris Godwins, DJ Moores? No, I'm not. So I'm going to keep him at 29. Judy, maybe get a slight bump, but again, I just need to see this offense not look fucking terrible before I get excited. Now, speaking of offenses that aren't fucking terrible, the Los Angeles Rams take on their division foe, the Arizona Cardinals in Arizona. It's basically a pick 'em. The Rams are getting 1.5, which is a bit shocking, but the over-under of 48 is as to be expected. Both teams are no juice on the money line because it's that razor thin. Are we starting everybody? Can we just say start everybody, move on?
Start everybody, move on.
Let's do it. Real quick though, are you taking the Rams in the points? It feels kind of silly to go against Sean McVay getting points.
So I just wanted to pull this up because the way you have it written down, I just want to make sure we're straight on here. Because the way you have it written down here is you have the Rams favored by 1.5.
Yeah, that has swang. That has swang.
Swag.
Right now at DraftKings, the current books on DraftKings, that's what I'm using, Rams are plus 1.5 now. So that has swang.
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 Best all right, line.
That game's easy peasy, lemon squeezy. You're starting everybody.
I'm still seeing a point here.
Maybe it's changed since then, but I'm looking at NFL Pro right now. They use the DraftKings sports book. It's at 1.5. By the way, if Sean McVay is getting points,
I'm taking it. Plus money, though. So I'm saying it's plus money.
Yeah, yeah. I'm taking it. I'm taking the points.
Cardinals are favored in this game.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm taking the Rams.
Well, I'm just saying, like, it's written in the sheet wrong.
Oh, I know it is. It's changed. I'm not using the sheet right now.
Okay.
I will no longer use the sheet. This is behind the scenes. This is breaking the fourth wall because it just changes too much. And it's too easy to use other tools on the fly to worry about it. So anyhow, let's move on.
Anyway, we love the Rams, period.
We love the Rams. We love both. You're not worried about Marv. You're playing Marv. You're playing Trey. You're playing Connor. You're playing them all. Fire up, everybody. Cincinnati Bengals and Joe Burrow. Is that wrist okay? We'll find out. They're heading to Kansas City to play the 2-time defending champs, Kansas City Chiefs. This is one of the more shocking lines. There's been a lot of shocking lines that we've talked about today. It's weird betting week. The Chiefs are only 5-point favorites at home after the Bengals lost to the Patriots. Over under 48, that is to be expected. But are we hammering the Chiefs, only giving up 5 points at home?
Yep, we're taking the Chiefs. This is what this is. We talked about this in the Circus Show last night on Roster Watch, and this was the first one that Alex thought he was going to have to come in and like sell us on this pick. And I was like, no, like you don't have to sell me on shit. Like Higgins is still banged up. They have no real explosion out of the backfield. Their offensive line's banged up. Burrow can't grab a water bottle. We talked about Watson. We've talked about, Drew Brees, all these quarterbacks that can lose gas out of their shoulders and their arms and their wrists and their hands and stuff. And like Burrow, we may have to have a conversation here. We don't have to do it right now because it's a big one, but we may have to have a conversation here. He's 5-5 as a starter last year. They were 4-3 without him. They lost in week one. Last year at the beginning of the season, they got boat raced by Cleveland, and then they went home and lost to Baltimore, barely beat the Rams, and then got beat at Tennessee last year, 27-3, if you remember. Like, this team just doesn't start early. They don't start hot early, I should say. 2 years ago, they got beat by Pittsburgh and Dallas to start the season. So this team's gonna drop. It's gonna get beat by 10 against the Chiefs this week. As far as in the game, who you're starting, who you're playing, we talked about Rashi a minute ago. I have him at 6. I think Maddie said he had him at 7.
8.
So, I mean, he's right there in the conversation. Patty Mack up there in the conversation as a top 5 quarterback. Running back, I got Pacheco. It's kind of like a middling RB2 area. RB18 overall.
Whoa, we got to talk about that. I'm at running back 4 this week. I think he feasts.
What?
I think he goes nuts this week.
Okay, that's interesting.
The only deterrent in this is if they get Samaje Perine more involved. But Isaiah Pacheco did not have a big game. He still had 15 fantasy points, and he dropped the 30-yard touchdown pass. So there's a lot for him. I love Pacheco this week. I love him.
I don't hate him. I just like, I'm looking at, I mean, I guess there's some guys ahead of him that I could make an argument for. Ford, Pollard.
Well, you know, this is in, you know, kind of a roundabout way, a rankings discussion between the two of us. Where do you have Kamara ranked?
9.
Okay, so that's our difference. I have Pacheco high, Kamara low, you flip-flop. So that's the difference in the rankings pretty much.
Well, but I have Dobbins ahead of him, Montgomery, Bijan, Brian Robinson, Kyren, like Mason, Gibbs, well, Connor, Jacob Barkley.
I understand a lot of those guys, but yeah, I got Barkley ahead. But Kyren, yeah, I got a ranked high. But yeah, I love this game for Pacheco. But you're starting the usual suspects. There's really not a whole lot to dive into. The one thing I got to ask you, what do you have Burrow ranked?
Huh. 13.
I have him at 15.
Yeah, I think I'm going to move him below Dak right now. So that's going to put him at 14.
All right, let's play a quick name game with Joe Burrow. Are you playing Joe Burrow or Trevor Lawrence?
Burrow.
Are you playing Joe Burrow or Brock Purdy?
Burrow.
Are you playing Joe Burrow or Matthew Stafford?
Stafford.
Joe Burrow or Tua?
Tua.
And the spicy one, Joe Burrow or Baker Mayfield?
Baker.
I have Baker 4 spots ahead of Joe Burrow. I am absolutely making that swap. If Baker's available in your 1QB league and Burrow's your starter, I'm making that switch. I am going Burrow quite confidently over Baker Mayfield quite confidently over Joe Burrow. This next game we can breeze through because it's probably going to be a snooze fest. The Pittsburgh Steelers head out to the Mile High Stadium to take on the Denver Broncos. The Broncos are getting 2.5 points at home in the over-under of 36.5. I had to double-check it. I had to look a couple times because I thought I was looking at the University of Iowa's over-under. Lowest on the slate. Just real quick, is there anyone other than let's just start. Who are you playing? Which of these guys are you playing?
I just, you know, when I think of this game, I think of this is gonna sound fucking, what is the song? I think it's like Five Finger Death Punch. It's like Suffocation.
Oh, Papa Roach. Suffocation. No breathing. Don't give a fuck. Give a going already.
When I think of the Steelers defense against Denver after last week watching them against Atlanta, like I want to see Pittsburgh, New England, and just see just like 3-0. Let's go.
Dude,
suffocate this game.
When the Patriots and Steelers take off, they're doing us all as fans a disservice if they don't get like an old timey here at Foxborough Stadium here. And oh, Skippy McGee is running. Like, they need like an old 1915 style announcer for that game because that's how that game's going to play. This isn't much different, I guess.
This one's not going to be great. Steelers getting 3.5 here. Should probably be getting a touchdown, even though we don't really know what the real quarterback situation is. It's probably going to be Fields until Russ is a hundo. Yeah. Fields actually looked competent last week. The thing is here, Pickens is going to get Sertan. If you can get a prop or any type of gasoline on Fields to throw a pick. He's 100% throwing a pick this week. I'll tell you that right now, today and yesterday, three times a day. As far as where these guys are all lined up for me, Knicks and Fields are both bottom 10 quarterbacks. Fields have a little bit higher just because of the rushing upside, and the matchup's not the dirtiest. I think Freiermuth gets his. We talked earlier about the tight end position. Freiermuth is right there for me between Likely and Andrews, and I kind of feel like putting Freiermuth ahead of Likely. Top 10 matchup on the Rushwatch rankings tool, Rushwatch matchups tool, and I think Freiermuth continues. Last week, the guy ended up with four targets, caught all four, scored 6 fantasy points. Again, only 4 people scored more than 10 fantasy points at the tight end position. So I like him because Pickens, like I said, he has the Sertan matchup. On the Denver side of things, I kind of want to just stay hands off right now. Like, we saw Joey Porter Jr., who is a big-bodied boy, line up on London last week and kind of squeeze the daylights out of him. And I think he can do the same thing to Sutton to a certain extent. Yeah. So if you're going to play anybody in this passing game, it may just be the old 1.9 yards per reception Devon Vele. Maybe, I guess, if he's going to get 10 targets, like maybe, I guess. But if he's going to get 10 targets, you're probably going to expect 7 points. So just know that going in.
And I mean, the Seattle set a pretty strong pace in terms of points. So there was a lot of catch-up mode for the Broncos. I don't expect them to be a whole lot of there. I mean, the over-under 36, I'd still take the under if I was forced to bet gun to my head. And I'm with you on Sutton. I got my wide receiver 36. You know, a shitload of targets. You caught, what, 2 of them? It's going to be rough sledding as this team figures out what they are, who they are, and how they're going to win football games under Sean Payton. Let's head now to the two primetime games on the week. First one on Sunday Night Football, pretty fun. Very excited for this one. Chicago Bears head to Tejas to take on C.J. Stroud and the Houston Texans. Texans are giving 6 point favorites. Over-under of 45.5 suggests that the defenses may play a little bit better than we would like. Are you starting Caleb Williams? We'll start there, and then let me know how you see this game playing out.
I have to play him in a couple of leagues because I missed on Jaden Daniels. You know my strategy late in drafts was Jaden and Caleb, and Jaden was going ahead of Caleb for a reason because we like Jaden more. But I did end up with Caleb in a few spots. He does have a great matchup this week against Houston, technically, according to the model. But I have him as QB19 after Purdy, after Herbs, after Cousins, after Burrow, because he's just not quite ready. And these receivers are banged up. He's just not quite ready. I think Houston gets these guys. I'm not sure. I'm not sure how to deal with this right now. I'd like to see more pass attempts. I'd like to see more rush attempts. I'd like to see more output from the Chicago Bears offense. I'd like to see more blocking. I'd like to see the offensive line kind of respond and do something. Because last week they, of course, played Tennessee, who has sick interior pressure. And now this week they're going to have Houston, who has great exterior pressure with Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter. So we'll see how they rebound from that. But I think I'm kind of – if I can play somebody else over Caleb, I'll do it. DJ Moore has to be a hammer, though, this week with Keenan Allen being banged up, with Adunze being banged up. I think DJ Moore has to be a guy that's top –
he's got to see 10 targets. He's got to this week. For them to have success.
I put him at 10 overall. Alex is 19. The model has DJ Moore 35.
That's a stingy thing.
I think he's fine, though. Like, DJ Moore's a guy that he's a – not that he can beat ones, but he's a beater because of his routes and his speed.
Yeah. Yeah, and the way you can manufacture DJ Moore touches doesn't have to be all that complex. He's great after the catch. I have him at 18, so I'm a little bit closer to Alex, but for sure you're playing him without a doubt. As far as Caleb, I have him at 18, so we're like right lockstep there. You might have to play him, especially in your two QB formats. He's definitely a guy you're going to have to go back to the well. I'm expecting a better game, but man, he didn't look good, but Shane Waldron, man, what a horrible game plan. Passing too many times on first down. They had a ball in the red zone. What was it? Inside? I think it was inside the 12 even. Wasn't quite goal to go situation. Ran it 3 straight times, forced a field goal. I mean, passed the ball 3 straight times, then they were forced to field goal. They need to establish a bit of a running game. And if they don't think it, that DeAndre Swift is that type of guy, then try Khalil Herbert. Do something else. They have to run the ball earlier in drives to establish it. I know that's become a joke, but it's still a foundation of offense is playing off the run. Play action works if you can establish a run. Passing deep, establish if the defense is afraid even a little bit of you running the football. 10 rushes for DeAndre Swift simply isn't enough. The defense is good, but that offense in Houston is going to go up against any defense in the league, especially early on or as they get going. That defense is going to, that offense is going to hum. So I'm not really betting on this game a whole lot. I could see the Texans beating the living dog shit out of the Bears. I could see the Bears keeping it close with that defense and causing some fits for, you know, their pass catchers and C.J. Stroud.
The thing we have to remember is that Tennessee's not a great football team, and Tennessee walked the puppy dog in the first half.
They were dominating 17-0.
And this is in Houston.
This is right.
This could be the – maybe this is my take this week. Week two, Houston – Chicago is this week's version of last week's New Orleans, Carolina.
One's here. Well, that's not really the case yet, but an ass kicking where I guess you saying that's kind of made me giving me this thought. It could be that type of snowball effect where it starts, but if that thing picks up momentum, it can get fucking ugly. That snowball can become a boulder.
Because again, they have Jalen Johnson, who's great. Tyrique Stevenson's good, but the problem is that, and Bill Belichick just talked about this on a show yesterday with Lombardi on his new coach podcast, which is fucking phenomenal. He talked about playing against Aaron Rodgers and that back in the day, they used to put Revis on the wide receiver two and they would bracket the number one. And he goes, all of a sudden, Rodgers is throwing 10 times to this Devonta Adams guy because we got our number one corner. We got Revis on Jordy Nelson, and we're bracketing James Jones or the inverse, whatever. And he goes, and then we just think, well, he beat us with somebody else. And Devonta Adams just happened to be the breakout game that day. And in this situation, and he was accrediting that to Rodgers, in this situation, Stroud, we know how good Stroud is. And he's got Dell, he's got Nico, and he's got Diggs. And again, they have Jalen Johnson and Tyrique Stevenson, and they can probably play strong against two of these guys. But that third Dr. Nasty, his name's Tank Dell, and he can get sick. And I think Houston just has too much firepower for this defense. There's not enough of a pass rush in Chicago. And I think this Houston defense is good enough to keep these guys in the bucket in the first half. And I think this game gets fucking putrid.
So you're pretty confident then in taking the Texans and giving the 6.5.
Yeah.
All right. There you have it, folks. Monday Night Football, Battle of the Birds. The Atlanta Falcons travel to Philly for them to play their first true home game. Last week they had a home game technically, but it was in Brazil. The Falcons are getting 6.5 points as road dogs. Over under 47 suggests a bunch of points. There's a lot of fantasy relevant players in this matchup. Are you pretty much playing all the usual suspects? And how do you think this game plays out?
I think you play everybody, even though it's going to pain you to play London and to play Bijan after last week, but you have to play your boy Bijan because you drafted him such high draft capital. You play London and Pitts based on targets. The back end for Philadelphia didn't play great last week. I think you'll be okay. I don't think Ray McLeod doubles down on that output. In Philadelphia, I mean, this is the – I love Philadelphia. I mean, Philadelphia – from a fantasy perspective, I just love what they did. I love what they look like in week one. It's becoming a fantasy factory with Brown, Barkley, and Smith and Hurts. So these guys are going to be, you know, high-end options every single week. And I love an offense, Maddie, where when I'm ranking guys and I go, where shall I rank the AJ Brown? And then I can scroll down five spots and be like, how close can I get Devonta Smith to A.J. Brown? And can I possibly put Devonta Smith ahead of him? I'm not going to do it. But like the fact that you think about that because of the output and everything being so lined in, I love it. I love Philadelphia. So, I mean, you're just another week, another day, another dollar. 17 targets last week, 12 catches, 200 yards and a touchdown for these guys. I mean, this is going to be a weekly basis thing in Philadelphia as long as everyone stays healthy.
Yeah, I mean, looking across my ranks, Hurts, QB4, Barkley, RB3, Brown, wide receiver 3, Smith, wide receiver 14. You're going to the well. It's a fantasy factory, like you mentioned. I got Bijan as running back 1 this week. If you look at least the week 1 matchup, the run defense of the Eagles was not that great, whereas the Falcons were pretty decent at running the ball under center. And I would expect them to want to do that, given their probably lack of attack downfield at this stage of their offense, in this stage of Kirk Cousins' recovery. Kind of an off-base question, but I want to ask it to you. What do you think about Cousins? Because I just traded him away in Dynasty. I think the Michael Penix watch starts heating up real soon.
Yep. I put him on the waiver wire list this week. Penix, that is. I'm nervous about Cousins. I think that they potentially got buyer's remorse about that whole thing.
And I'm they're sure not in the second they turned in that card to take a quarterback at 8.
No. I'm talking about as soon as they got Cousins, they brought him in. And they were like, yo.
Oh, and that's what caused them to go 8, quarterback at 8. Okay, that makes sense.
So,
Super Bowl winning GM Terry Fontenot. Shout out Mike Lombardi.
Shout out Mike Lombardi.
The GOAT.
So, I think they got, I think we're going to see Penix by week 8. Because this team's not fucking good with Cousins. He doesn't have mesh. He's a different kitty cat. He's a fucking Russ.
A little bit.
I'm cursing heavy on this episode, but
not too bad.
You know, welcome to shit, brother. Welcome to fucking shit.
Welcome to South Harmon. Shout out Fizz.
And Cousy's about done. Cousy's about gasolined out. I mean, he's got the Russ mentality. He don't have great connection with these guys. He had a great thing going in Minnesota, but I think he's peed. I mean, he's got fucking buckets too. He's got like troves and troves and troves of cash in his wall.
Oh yeah.
He's got 5-gallon pails fucking hanging from the ceiling full of cash. I mean, his like you open up his pantry and cash just falls out. I mean, he's got trap doors all over his kitchen full of cash. He don't have feathers in his couch. He has cash. He don't have pillows. He has cash. His bed isn't made out of box spring or memory foam. It's made out of cash. And this guy can mail it in. This guy like sits at home and elevates his Achilles to recover. And he doesn't elevate it on ice. He doesn't ice his Achilles. He mices it with money.
And this episode was 100% cash. Cody, thank you so much for joining me again this week. This is our show. I don't know why I said it that way. It was weird. Anywho,
your special guest?
No. Well, that was an Alex impersonation. So thank you, Alex Dunlap, for giving Cody that impersonation. Shout out to you, Cody, for joining me again this week. That's the week 2 slate. This is the breakdown or the walkthrough, the breakdown of the week 2 slate. I'm gonna have to edit this end. I'm not gonna edit. We don't edit here. We're not bad. But this is a horrible takeoff. So why don't you go ahead and take the floor and sign us off? Because apparently my brain just shut off.
We appreciate you guys. We love you. We appreciate you for tapping into the walkthrough, the matchup podcast here on the South Harmon Radio Network. He's Matt Akil. I'm Cody Carpentier. Get them dubs this week and tune in, tap in this Sunday for the Start Sit Show and the game plan on Sunday morning. We appreciate you. We love you. Have a good fucking weekend.
That was so much better than me. Peace.